It is always amazing to me how many Christians could make a decision without putting God in the equation. You know, having said that, I myself have made that mistake many, many times. But it's always interesting how we have, you know, the God of the universe willing to give us answers, and yet we just neglect him, or we don't put him in our decision making, in our thinking. You know, the world's wisdom is actually to take out a piece of paper and write pro on one side and con on one side, and list all the good stuff that would happen if you make this decision and all the bad stuff that will make happen. And then if the pro outweighs the con, then we should go do it. That's actually very smart according to the world's way, but however, we actually should live from a different perspective. The perspective is that we have a God who loves us, and we have a God who is willing to tell us or teach us the things that we should do. So, even if there's tons and tons of cons, if we just put the word "God said so" on the pro, that should trump everything else on the cons. Why? Because God is the creator of the universe. And if God gives us a mission to do, he is responsible for seeing it happen, for seeing it fulfilled, for giving us all the resources that we need to make it happen. You know, the Bible is full of examples of people who actually did the impossible. Why? Because they believed in God, and God told them to do so. Elijah was just basically a citizen of a country where he went up to the king and said, "You know what? God told me that by my word, because you have been sinning against God, that God is going to punish this nation by not pouring down rain upon this land, and there will be drought and famine for 3 years. You know, for a person, you know, who doesn't have God in the equation, will say that this guy is just crazy. However, God actually fulfilled his own word through Elijah and made it happen. See, we need to believe that there is a God, as Christians, that there is a God who loves us and who wants and who eagerly wants to give us direction in our life, and who wants to help us because he has created us for a good purpose. Actually, probably for good purposes. You know, that's the reason why he sent his Holy Spirit to live among Christians, so that we can always talk to him, you know, 24/7 whenever we need. So why would many Christians fail to actually acknowledge God, or fail to think about, you know, putting God in the equation? I believe it's because many times we lack the confidence of being able to hear God. You know, we're not sure whether this is from God or this is from someone else, from our own emotions, or you know, even from the enemy of, you know, Satan himself. And so the question many times, that because we don't know whether it's from God or not, then we fall back to the way we used to do things before we were saved, and then, you know, just put a lot less all the pros and cons. But I believe because we have the Holy Spirit within us 24/7, you know, not only should the major decisions be brought to God, but even the small decisions, the everyday decisions, we can have a relationship, a constant communion. Holy Spirit, you know, is this what you want me to do? Or, you know, lead me and guide me. So I believe every Christian should be able not only to hear from God, but to hear clearly from God. So the question is, how do we do it? How do we hear from God? Well, of course, the most important thing, and the first priority, is to actually have a relationship with him. Why in the world would you want to hear from someone you don't know? You know, people actually go to school because, you know, there's a relationship, a teacher-student relationship. So we sit there and listen to the teacher. People, you know, go to church because there's a pastor and congregation relationship. You know, we listen to the pastor. We listen to our friends because we have a relationship with them. We are friends with them. So we need to have a relationship with God first. And, you know, how do you get a relationship? Well, of course, as Christians said, to get saved or to be born again. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If anyone confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, he will be saved, or he will have a relationship with the Almighty God. Now, I already dealt with this in more detail in a previous message, so I won't go back into all those details. So I sincerely ask you, if you want to know how to get saved, just go click on the previous audio message titled "Jesus is Lord and Savior," or just click on the website. Just click on, you know, "Get to Know Jesus," and you'll see all the good stuff of getting to know him and getting to have a relationship with him, building a relationship with him. That is actually the first and probably the priority in hearing God. But as I said, not, you know, many Christians have failed to accomplish putting God into their decision-making process. So getting saved is important, but it's not the only thing that we should do. The second thing I believe also is to actually just take time out to listen. You know, in the book of James, it actually says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You know, that's actually talking about, you know, us, how to have good fellowship with one another, with human beings, but I believe it also works with us having a relationship with God. You know, we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to, you know, let our minds jump into wrath or anger because, you know, God told us to do impossible things. What does God mean when he say be quick to listen? It's basically, hey, don't just run to God and then pour out, you know, all your needs. God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And then after giving him the list of all the things you need, you just walk away. No, God is saying, hey, wait a minute, stop. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. First, stop and listen to what he has to say, because many times he probably already have the answer in the wings waiting, or in the works waiting, just for us, you know, to in a sense shut up and listen to what he has to say. Jesus said in John 10:4 that his sheep, those people that who belong to him, he's the great shepherd, and he's calling that those people who belong to them as his sheep will listen, will hear his voice, because his sheep knows his voice. So what Jesus is saying is that we as people who belong to him, as people of God, actually should be able to know the voice of Christ. Now, how does God speak to these people? Well, if we look through the Bible, there's actually many, many ways that God speaks to his people. In the book of Exodus, I believe, where God actually spoke to the whole congregation of Israel through, you know, a loud voice, to an audible voice, with thunders and you know, with all the you know, probably lightning and smoke and all those stuff. Well, yes, God can speak audibly, but actually, if you see the result of that, it brought a lot of fear into the people of Israel, where they actually went to Moses and say, "Moses, you go talk to God for us, because, you know, we are afraid that we might die after hearing, you know, if we constantly hear such a powerful and display of the glory of God." But that's not the only way God speaks. In the Old Testament, we also see the story of Elijah, where, you know, Elijah was really tired and he went to hide in the cave. And then suddenly, I think a fire came, and then the wind came, and then, you know, some other thing came, but God wasn't in there. And then suddenly a still small voice came, where Elijah immediately knew that's from God. So God can speak to you, you know, through thunder and lightning and through an audible voice, or he can speak to you through a still small voice, a silent, a quiet voice. And we also read in the Old Testament where it was the prophets, how do they hear from God? Well, if you, you know, read the King James Version or the New King James Version, usually many times instead of saying a prophecy from the prophet or an oracle from the prophet, it actually says a burden from the prophet. You know, a burden came upon the prophet. So God can speak to us through a burden, through something within us that moves us to want to do certain things. So God can do that also. God many times also uses angels to relay his message to us. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we can see that, you know, in the birth of Christ, God actually used angels to tell the shepherds that, hey, his son has been born in Bethlehem. You know, after the death of Jesus Christ, you know, an angel actually went and freed Peter from jail and actually spoke to him and you know, sent him out of the jail. In Paul's time, many, many years after the death and resurrection of Christ, when Paul was in a lot of trouble, especially on a boat, where the boat was actually lost at sea and being bombarded by the waves, the angel came and comforted Paul and said, you know what? God said that he is going to save all the people on the boat with you, that the boat will be destroyed, but no one will perish if everyone will remain on the boat. So God can speak in many, many different ways, in many different forms. One of the joys for Christians is actually to learn to stop all the busyness of life and actually to just learn, be sensitive to what God is saying through the many different ways. In the Bible, it actually says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to try to find it out. In a way, it's really a fun thing to try to figure out what, you know, all the many different ways, the variety of ways that God loves to speak to us. You know, don't try to limit God in one way of speaking, but instead, you know, just let yourself be open and be sensitive to how God will speak to you, because many times He'll use different ways just to in a sense of having sort of like a fun thing to do, you know, trying to figure out, okay, God, is this you speaking or is this not you? So, you know, the first way is actually, you know, not first way, but the first thing, how do we hear from God, is actually to have a relationship with Him by being saved. The second thing is actually to just spend time listening, be sensitive to God, and to learn how He speaks, you know, the different ways that He speaks, you know, through, He also speaks through dreams and visions. And you know, Joseph, the husband of Mary, the stepfather of Jesus, if you will, actually got a dream from God, where God sent an angel to tell him that, you know, Mary, get married with Mary, who was with child with Jesus at that time. And actually, in the same story, if you keep on reading, the wise men were actually warned through dreams, or through a dream, that, you know, they should not return to King Herod, but to just go home the other way in order to protect or to save Jesus from being killed. So God speaks in many, many different ways. And, you know, one of the fun things for me personally is actually try to find all the different ways that God speaks, and just to enjoy finding out the answer when God actually gives it. God could also speak through people. He did it in the past, you know, through prophets and through priests. And he did it in the New Testament, of course, through Jesus Himself, and then through the apostles. Where, and even later on, when He established the church, He actually had five offices that He established, where, you know, He can speak through them. You know, where Christians will call it the fivefold ministry. You know, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Where we are, where they are set in the church to encourage the church to mature in Christ and to be able to do good works. So God speaks in many, many different ways, and one of the fun things is actually to learn to listen and to learn the different ways that God speaks. God is the one who created communication, so if He wants you to know the thing, He will make it obvious. The thing that we have to do is actually to be sensitive and to actually take the time out to listen. Let's not be quick to just give Him a list of all the things that we want Him to do and then leave. But let's actually take some time, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And I believe there's a third part to how to hear from God, and that's actually what many pastors all around, you know, the nation have been encouraging their congregation to do, which is to read your Bible. Why should we read the Bible? Well, first of all, you know, God, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is found in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it is, you know, it is from God, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But it also gives us a clear picture of how God speaks. You know, all the examples I gave you are basically all from the Bible of all the different ways that God speaks. You know, many years ago, actually not years, maybe a few years ago, actually there was a common phrase called WWJD, what would Jesus do? And, you know, it became really popular that even, you know, I believe even Target and all the other stores are actually selling that bracelets that says, what would Jesus do? But throughout throughout that time, I actually found out that actually many people misuse that phrase into trying to give more weight to whatever they are thinking. So they are thinking a certain thing, and then, you know, they'll just put WWJD, thinking that, you know, what they are thinking is what Jesus would be doing. But that's not true. Many times I want to ask them, hey, how in the world would you know what Jesus would do if you have no clue what Jesus did in the past? Think about it. How would you know Jesus would, how would you know what Jesus would do in this certain situation if you have no clue what He did in a similar situation in the past? So that, I believe that's what reading your Bible does in helping us hearing from God, because it helps us to know how God spoke in the past and how He dealt with certain situations, so that we will be able to distinguish the voice of God and to know whether this is from God or not. Let's say, for example, is it from God when He tells us, "Hey, in order to win a war, you have to cut down your army by 90%?" There's no way it's from God, could it? The logical reasoning is, we should add our army by 90%. We are already, down by 2-1 or 3-1, and God, you're calling me to get rid of the rest of my army, that only 10% will come and fight them? Are you serious? Is this really from you? Yet if we read the book, the story of Gideon, we can see that it's exactly what God says. And in another time, let's say you're the king of Israel, or you're king of your own nation, and then suddenly you hear an invading, a huge force of invading armies actually coming to against you. So what do you do? You run to the temple of God and you say, "God, help me." And then God's answer is, "Okay, send out your singers to go and fight the war, and actually to go and be the front line." You would think to yourself, "Are you serious? Are you sure, God? You want singers to go fight this war? Even if I sent my best soldiers out against them, I'm not even sure I'll win, and you want singers to do it?" Yet if you read the Bible, that's exactly what happened to one of the king of Judah, I believe. Okay, let's hit another one. God helps those who help themselves. This is a famous phrase, and I believe many people actually think this is in the Bible, but if you actually flip through the entire Bible, you would never find that phrase, "God helps those who help themselves." In fact, I personally believe that many people, in the way they translate this phrase, are actually translating it in an inconsistent way with what the Bible's teaching. What the Bible teaches us is actually God helps those who trust in Him. God helps those who obey Him. God should be in the center of our decision making, because that's the way He gains all the glory, not men. When we help ourselves, we are sort of like stealing glory from God. "Hey, I did this part, and God, you did the rest." No, God helps those who obeys, who listens and obeys Him. God gains the glory. God becomes the center of our decision making. So let's do a quick recap. How do we hear from God? First of all, we need to have a relationship with Him by getting saved. Second of all, let's be quick to listen and slow to speak. And God speaks to us in many, many different ways. And one of the fun things is actually to try and figure out, okay, God, how do we speak? How are you speaking to me today? And the third thing is actually to try to figure out how God spoke in the past, or not figure out, but to actually know how God spoke in the past. And then, so that we will have a better framework to be able to figure out whether what we are hearing is from ourselves, from God, or from somewhere else. Basically, to read our Bible so that we can know how God used to speak, and knowing that He still does the same thing today, and to know the character of God so that we can actually know the tone of voice. If the voice is actually condemning and trying being all harsh and strict, most likely it's not from God. Actually, most likely it's from the enemy, because he loves to condemn, he loves to accuse people to themselves, to others, and actually in front of God also. God, when it comes from God, usually it brings conviction, not condemnation. And we'll probably deal with that sometime in the future. But it's good to know that actually God is the one who created communication, and He highly, highly desires for us to communicate with Him, and He loves to tell us when we have a problem, how to get through those problems. He loves to be the one besides us. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our counselor, or actually if you read the original Greek, it says to be the one beside us, the one walking with us. So as Christians, or even as non-Christians, I want to encourage all of us to actually have this different perspective that, we can hear from God. Not only can we hear from God, we can expect to hear clearly from God, so that when we make our decisions, we can actually put God into our decision making, because if God says so, that by itself should trump any cons or any other problems that we can think of. Well, I want to thank you for your time. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just reminding us once again, Lord, that you are a God who loves us. And not only are you a God who loves us, but Lord, you are concerned, or you are interested in our everyday life. You want to have a constant communion with us, and you want to talk with us, and Lord, we can have a relationship with you. Lord, you are the God who created communication, and therefore, Lord, we trust that you are able to communicate clearly. But Lord, we ask that, Lord, we have a heart that is ready to hear, and a heart that's ready to find out what you want to tell us. We thank you, and Lord, I ask, Lord, for everyone out there who has needs, Lord, that when they cry out to you, Lord, that you will listen to their needs. And Lord, you'll stretch out your hands, Lord, your healing hands, to touch upon those who are sick, Lord, and they can be made well. You'll stretch out your presence, your comfort, to those who are in need of being comforted, Lord. I thank you, God, for all these, and Lord, for many more, because Lord, you're a God who is above and beyond all our imagination can think of. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for once again taking time to listen to this message. There might be some changes, little changes that I'll be going on, because it takes me a long time to put up the Windows or the Wave format up into my website, to upload it to my website. So I might just figure, I might just stick with MP3, because I believe MP3 is many players can actually hear, listen, or be able to accept that format. So this message will probably be the last time that I'll put both the MP3 and the WAV format, or the Windows format, up. Unless, of course, it's a problem with some people. And then just email me if it's a problem, and I'll probably put it back on. Okay, thank you, and remember, until next time, God loves you.